This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to a Blue Monday Q&A show. It is Wednesday, 28th of July, and joining me tonight, first appearance of the season, Craig Finbo. Question? Yep. It is. Welcome back to the pod. Nice summer break. Playing cricket? Watching cricket?
Playing a bit, watching mainly. Yeah. It's not the worst thing in the world to do, be sitting in a comfy chair watching other people run around in a hot field. So yeah, not good. Exactly. Thank you, mate.
Making another return, similar to me, ever present so far, Joseph Fares in his 0-0-0-2 away.
Yeah, it was after we got promoted, wasn't it? It was the two Premier League seasons it was the away kit for.
And an Armstrong shirt in it.
With a different sponsor.
Marcus Stewart Everton. Good evening to everyone. We want to hear from you. This is a show dedicated to you and your questions. So we want to hear about new signings. We want to hear about player exits, maybe. We want to hear about under 23s, one all draws with Braintree. We want to hear about three all draws with Colchester United. We've got, if you want a shout out, we'll maybe do those. If you've got a prediction for Millwall or Morecambe or anything else, if you want to speculate, or maybe we can come up with some questions for Mark Ashton, Mike O'Leary and Paul Cook for the various Q&As that will be happening in the next few weeks. Anything, the agenda is up to you. So, let's hear from you. We're getting the comments in straight away. Hello to Mark. Evening, chaps. If you can hear me at the back. Yeah, just keep it down if you would, please, Mark. And if you've got a question, please raise your hand and maybe we'll get to you. First off the bat, James Ruddock, Super Chat. Thank you ever so much for that. Really appreciate that. If you want to support the podcast, this is a really great way to do it. If you enjoy what we do, if you want us to do more, and you're a brilliant human being like James, then do hit the Super Chat button. Thank you so much, James.
Better make it good tonight.
And there we go. So, James, evening, lads. Haven't done it for a while, so here you go. Looking forward to another season. Hear, hear. And hopefully, James, some more positive things to talk about than 0-0 draws and one chance, or even worse, 2-3-0 defeats to teams down the bottom of the league. Who else is joining us tonight? Evening, chaps. Is Chaplin an upgrade on Bishop? His mullet. Let's start with that. I just thought it was a nice evening salutation from Mullet, but it's a question. Who wants to take this one first? Is Chaplin an upgrade on Bishop? What I could do is help you out here, and I will stop talking in a second. As I was scouting, I'll just cover your faces up. This heat map here on the right-hand side suggests that he's definitely more of a widey. Joe's getting in there. Well done. More of a wide player maybe than we thought. He obviously takes the kickoffs for Barnsley as well. Your thoughts on whether he's an upgrade, Craig, sorry, no dice. Whether he's an upgrade on a replacement for Bishop, who obviously left Lincoln yesterday, or something else. Who wants to say this one? Craig, start with you. Come on.
Okay. Well, I was, funnily enough, I was watching a Barnsley YouTube pod earlier today. I was watching the Connor Chaplin interview, and it was a recommendation down the sidebar to watch this Barnsley one, and there was three or four guys chatting about him leaving, and you know what he's good at, what he's bad at, etc., etc. And they were sort of saying the main host was saying, you know, he's a championship player, he's a lower championship player, and he'll rip it up. He'll get 15 goals for us in.
That's what you want to hear.
Would that be more than Teddy Bishop next year? Maybe. Well, possibly. Yeah. But he was just saying that what he will do, he'll give you energy. He'll give you 100% effort. He'll give you energy. He'll, you know, he won't stop. He'll harass. He's good for team morale. He won like their player of the community, blah, blah, blah. So he does all that bit as well. And Paul Cook said he was the best finisher he'd ever worked with.
There you go.
So I think what he probably will do is just give you a bit more bustle and energy, whether he'll be quite as, you know, elegant and jinky as Teddy Bishop, who knows, but he'll probably have a bit more end product, I'd have thought.
I'll stop using technical terms as well, Craig, come on. Jinky. Jax asked, who will be the signing of the season? I mean, we've got plenty to choose from. Let's have a name each. And given the fact there could be three or four more before we even kick a ball against Morecambe, who wants to make an early punt for signing of the season?
Maybe everyone stick theirs in the comments as well, their signing of the season.
Well done, Joe. So, you host.
Yeah. The player that I think is going to be the best player, just judging from what I've seen so far, it's a toss-up between either Hladky in goal, who looks like a top number one and an improvement on what we've got, or Joe Piggott up front. I'm sort of really looking forward to seeing him. I think he can play either as a nine or just behind in the 10. He's got a lovely touch, reads the game well, good finisher, all that sort of stuff. So he's a player I'm most looking forward to, but I think it could easily make a case for Lee Evans. If Rakeem Harper takes off, then he could
be a brilliant
signing.
Don't list them all. We haven't got time. Craig?
Yeah, well, like Joe, I went to Dartford and I said, you know, during the Dartford game, I pinged us the WhatsApp to say Rakeem Harper's getting my Player of the Year vote. He just looked a class above Dartford, but no, he just looked very like comfortable and looked to get the ball forward. And to be fair, the first half last night, Coley, he was the same. You know, there was a few jinks and turn jink again, a few turns. He did Adam Judge a couple of times, you know, with his first touch, and he just gets to pass it, looks to pass it forward, you know, through the lines pretty much every time he gets the ball. But like Joe again, Piggott, it's the first time I saw Piggott last night, and he just looked classy. You know, his first touch, his awareness, layoff, he finished as well last night, you know, and he's playing a slightly withdrawn role. He looked like he could be the one, I think.
Yep, I like Piggott as well, so that would mean he'd be getting my vote. Evening to Facebook. Hello, Facebook. Underrated. And a like from Kevin Beast. An evening to you, Kevin. Thank you for the thumbs up. Paul Westlake, we were talking about keepers. Did we keep the wrong backup keeper? Seriously, I wonder if Paul Cook is now thinking he needs more strength and depth in that position too. I tweeted as much and created a little bit of a pile on.
You need to leave it, mate, honestly.
It's almost as if I've got an agenda, Craig, isn't it? You were there last night. Yeah, thoughts on whether we let the wrong keeper go or whether we're just being unnecessarily critical of Hiley, who's, let's be honest, is likely to be second choice, isn't it? So there's no... Yeah.
Exactly. As Joe said, Hladky's going to be number one, isn't he? If Hiley's going to be around to knock rock the boat and sit on the bench and play against Gillingham under-23s and, you know, West Ham's under-23s in the Pizza Cup... and maybe playing the first round at Newport before we get knocked out against Newport, before we get knocked out against them, then so be it. You know, I'm not going to lose any sleep over him being our number two as long as Hladky stays fit.
Yeah. Speaking of Newport, is there a potential for you making a guest appearance with our Newport friends? Has that happened? Is that an exclusive that I can reveal?
I did it. Yeah, I did it last week, last Friday, I think it was. I think it's going to be on their pod. I think they're going to have a preview pod. So, yeah.
We'll
retweet that.
So, fans of Newport County and or Ipswich Town, there you go. Paul's added, can I change my opinion on the new away shirts? Joe suggested in the last pod, it looks great with the name and number on the back. Yeah, a lot of people revised their opinion.
Do have a collar, though. Just a nice collar on it would really make it look something else.
HCH, why is Dan still playing for the under 23s? Surely someone must be wanting to pick him up. Joe, was he at the other under 23s last night?
Yeah, he played the full 90 minutes for the under 23s last night. So
what's going on there?
Well, he's obviously not going to be playing a part for us for the first team this season. So I'd say it's just keeping him fit, I guess. But it does seem a bit counterproductive. I can see that one going right to the wire of the transfer window, but closing, because I just don't see what sort of fee we're going to get for him, and whether it's the fee we're going to get for him, is it worth selling him for? I don't know. It wouldn't surprise if he ends up going out on loan at the very end of the window. And if he has a good season, we just take up the extra year on his contract and try and sell him off the back of a decent season for somebody else next year. But we'll see how it goes.
It's a real shame, that situation, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems unnecessary, but obviously too much has gone on.
Mm.
You don't think he's just been sort of kept around on the off chance, you know, because we do still need at least one central midfielder, first team central midfielder. You don't think just being kept around just in case we fill that spot, and then.
But then you'd Jackson so, made the bench,
have him involved, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I was going to say Jackson was involved last night, and he's fifth or fourth striker, fifth.
So, well, I'd say you had in the positions last night. Sort of Cameron Humphrey started, Matt Healy came on, Fraser Alexander came on. You don't like pushing one of those on would be good, but you wouldn't push all three of them on, would you? If there is any chance Downs is going to be playing at all this year, so I can't see that there is any.
Yeah, so it looks like he's off whatever happens by the look of it, but maybe some off-field stuff there that we just don't know about, and maybe like Jackson and Holyhead being given the olive branch to maybe come back and has decided that he doesn't want that. We don't really know what's going on there, but it's a shame, isn't it? Mark, go on then, Mark. We'll let you have a question from the back. I believe Edmondson's nickname is The Fridge. Where does it rank in terms of best player nicknames in town history? It's certainly better than Hyamsy, isn't it, Craig?
Didsy. We haven't. I can't think offhand of any players with great nicknames.
No, that might have had them in the change room, but we don't, you know, get to know them, sort of.
Even just a small play on the name, like Treacle for Tariko or anything like that. I can't think of any proper nicknames.
Stick that in the chat. We're all kind of having mental blanks of
who was Sticks. Nicknames. Was that Mickey Stockwell or
it's Craig Forrest, wasn't it?
Craig Forrest. John Walk, what is he? I think he's got a nickname. Like Jinx or something like that. I think that's what Paul Mariner used to call him.
Is it a bit of an old school thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I just think he'd always come Jinx. Stumper, yeah, Mickey Stockwell there, isn't it, in the chat.
Thank you, Chris. Evening to Chris. There we go, HCH Flynn Esther, yeah. Dozer, Dozy.
What was Alan Brazil's nickname?
Oh, there we go. Tractor Boy 841. Bam Bam was a good nickname, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And I think Psycho as well, if you preferred that, although that was stolen, obviously.
I think Bam Bam is up there. The Fridge and Bam Bam are sort of two.
His mullet. Jimmy Ledbetter was also called Sticks for the old types. Thank you, mullet. Yeah, can this have some reminder? Maybe we need to come up with some. It feels like we're the only Ipswich Town podcast that we don't all have nicknames. So. What? Yeah. Do I dare go here? No. We're not going to include it in our intro videos or something. But if you want to give us nicknames that are not offensive, then please, yeah.
No, I don't want a nickname.
I won't be changing my Twitter handle.
And winner of the best YouTube alias is Giovanni Bananas, with his suggestion of Chuck Norris. There, I'm always worried when I put these things up that I've stumbled across something offensive, but Giovanni Bananas, good evening to you. Getting a lot of attention for best signing, and Mullet quite rightly, Mark Ashton certainly appears to be winning no shortage of plaudits, Joe, in his business so far, and you and I will be seeing him tomorrow along with loads of others for this Q&A, and Craig, you'll be as an EGM member, you'll be having a chat with him on Monday as well. Certainly making a good early impression, given all the reservation about Bristol City and how he left things with their fans.
Yeah, I think it always seems strange how poorly he was thought of by the Bristol City fans, because they'd had one bad season when they'd been a club that were sort of a League One team for a long time, or yo-yoing between them, and now they're sort of an upwardly mobile championship club that's just had one bad season. Yeah, they haven't been able to get over the line, but it's very difficult to get in the playoffs if you don't have parachute payments. It is just a tough one. And like I say, when, like Ben said, whenever he used to do the Championship sort of transfer window, sort of, yeah, they weren't Brentford, but Bristol City were very much one of the sort of two or three clubs that you'd always say they've had a good window, they've made good signings, they've sold their players well. And I just think it was so important that we've got someone in to run the club sort of 24/7, or rather than Marcus Evans doing one or two days a week, with Leo Neal just being sent out as a sort of to give an impossible message to the fans. But it does seem like we're going in the right places, and we might not get there this year. Paul Cook might not be the right man. There might be issues going forwards, but with Mark Ashton running things, you know that things will be going in the right direction as a club overall on behalf of the Americans. Hopefully the appointments that were in place before he got here turn out to have been the right ones, and they're gifts left by Marcus Evans, but we'll see.
Mm. And you encountered him last night, Craig. Very energetic, yeah, you were saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, pretty much as we were walking into the, I was sitting at the side last night, as we were walking in to the ground, he was walking along the touchline to go and start winding up the town fans, sort of thing. And that was one of the things that the Bristol City fans had against him, was that there was no communication. You know, they very rarely heard from him, etc. Well, you know, from what we've seen so far, that seems to have been turned on its head here. You know, whether that's been one of the things that the American guys have been very keen on ensuring happens is that connection with the club. And you know, he's the day to day face of it. Just, you know, roll on when we get Norwich in the FA Cup, and he's, you know, planting a town flag in the middle of Carrow Road centre circle.
Yep. The keep your signings of the season and non-offensive nicknames for Blue Monday team members, or if you've got any recollection of Ipswich Town nicknames, good nicknames. Given Mark's question about George Edmondson being the fridge. Other signings of the season so far, Mark Hart, 842-92-842. I wanted to read that. Wes Burns, good free kick last night, Craig. Keeper.
Probably was a keeper fault. But as I was saying, the guys who I was sitting with, we had a free kick which hit the target. You know, it's not very often that's happening, is it? He and Kane Vincent-Young came on towards the end of the match, and so I didn't have much time to sort of combine in that. But on rare occasions, we broke once from a corner, and you know, within a couple of seconds, Burns is up the other end of the pitch getting a cross in, which went a little bit awry. But at least he's, you know, getting us further up the pitch pretty damn quickly. I think that will be quite an important area of the pitch. When at that right hand side, if we can get anything resembling that on the left hand side, you know, we'll be laughing.
More business. Lee Redshaw. Yes or no, will we bag Selena? I mean, one word answer all from the two of you. If we need a deciding vote,
I'll be positive, so I'm going to say yes.
Craig? I'll go no.
No, sorry. Sorry, Lee. I think Connor Chaplin's
been born for that. That's the way I see it.
And Dobra. Great performance last night from Dobra.
From what I heard, the priorities are, obviously, assuming Coulson signs, which is still seen as a given, it's a proper defensive midfielder and another winger are the two priorities.
Right. Okay.
Not a centre back, which might surprise people.
Never say never on Selena then. But so if Joe, if it turns out to be right, then we know who to trust on the Blue Monday Pod team for their opinions on signings. Rob Scott, keeping the business of signings going. How many more signings do we need before Morecambe? I think we've kind of just dealt with that. Craig, any differing views from what Joe was saying there?
Well, I just sort of, as you were touching on before Joe spoke there about Dobra from last night, I'm just wondering how much his performances are edging him more towards, I'm not saying he's going to be a starter, but certainly edging him more towards a trusted, you know, on for the last 20 minutes, 15 minutes of a match. Because as I say, he was very good last night, and he was kicked from pillar to post by RX players, which is quite interesting. But yeah, whenever he got the ball, he was, as we know, whenever he got the ball, he was looking to get forward with it. He was going on mazy runs left, right and centre. He was really putting himself in Paul Cook's thoughts, I'd have thought. So, yes, I'd imagine there probably is a requirement for another sort of first team winger, but you know, I wouldn't have any qualms with having Dobra on the bench each week.
Just sticking up a few comments there from Chris Harley was a fine first choice last season, same division, so of course he'll be fine as a reserve. Then that's probably fair enough. Josh, I guess it's a similar story to Selena, is one more marquee signing. They kind of feel like they get slightly incrementally more impressive the more we do of them, and certainly Twitter, non-ITFC Twitter, is picking up and noting that. Is there one more
the
signing?
Last three signings, or was it Fraser, Edmondson, and now Chaplin? They're all probably the best part of £1 million, all three of those players, probably $750,000, $800,000, all of those. So that's a lot of money spent there.
Michael, morning from Brisbane, maybe an older keeper, 36, 38 years is okay.
What about a 37-year-old?
Yeah, I think what Michael's after is someone between 36 and 38.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across six different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Interesting here, we mentioned him briefly from Mark Jackson, staying as fourth striker. Is he fourth? Piggott, Norwood, Bond.
Chaplin probably plays up front.
Chaplin plays as a wide man. It'd be interesting to know what is going on with Jackson at the moment, because it seems like he's moved back from the under-23s into the first team fold. But to what extent is it just trying to keep him a little bit sharper, putting him in the shop window for someone? But I don't really see that the role he plays is something that's going to suit a Paul Cook 4-2-3-1. So.
And just as I said, I was at the side. We were right close to the dugouts, and there was, just as an aside, there was no seemingly animosity or anything towards Jackson. You know, it was pats on the back and good luck, Caden, when he came on from Paul Cook and stuff like that. As he was to all the players, to be fair, it was quite interesting sitting right behind him. But there was nothing. You know, you couldn't tell he was had previously been ostracised from the squad or anything like that.
Go on then, Caden, lad. Go on, show what you can do. There you go. That's the first principal cook of the season. Let's move it in. Move it on. Move it in, move it out, move it on. Mark, I think you set this up. Mark Beck is back. I'm pushing hard for Pigwayne, for Piggott, isn't it? It's almost as if you asked the question initially so you could set yourself up for that one. But
Feed the pig.
Feed the pig is, where I think my head was going as well. But here's HCH. I fully appreciate the excitement that the new owners and team are generating. Is it a bit weird that the CEO has taken a pause from the fans? I think, Joe, it's kind of a symbolic of, as you were saying,
To be honest, I didn't go, but I was quite surprised seeing him walking along fist bumping like a sort of returning war veteran coming back. That seemed over the top, but he's obviously enjoying it, and the fans were too. But yeah, it did seem, you don't get many administrators getting...
That's
celebrated like that.
I think it reinforces the point you made that we've gone from nothing, like no one in any position. You know, I can't imagine Simon Clegg was ever thinking about running down the side of the pitch. But it's just, I think, symbolic of the step up in, I think it's more appreciation of the transfer business, probably. But yeah, we lose to Morecambe.
He signed 10 bloody players, for Christ's sake. He deserves a round of applause.
He deserves. We should have his face on the front of the programme.
What was a bit weird last night is that after that had happened, we then got Edmondson and Chaplin to walk over, as the pitch was empty, to walk over and applaud the fans. Then they had their photos taken on Colgate's pitch.
Your photo. Yeah. You're exclusive, Craig. Paul's back. Who do you see as the centre-back pairing starting? He's going for NCR Edmondson. Either of you guys, or both of you? Yeah. Craig, go on. Or go on, Joe.
I think ITFC Analytics put some stats up and about how he did in his... He only had about 10 games at Derby, so it was difficult to judge fully. But when you look at the trends of his numbers, I think Edmondson's aerial win percentage was probably one of the worst in the league. But then his progressive passing, dribbling, that sort of stuff is really good. So it might be seen that he is the ball player, and effectively you need a guy to win the headers next to him, which indicates Ntiala. But obviously we haven't seen Edmondson, and it might be that he was playing a role last year where he was given that task, and he can do both. Like I say, it's always good to get a man who can do both. Yeah. So we'll see what he can do. But I always like to see Wolfenden because I like to see my footballers being comfortable on the ball, which isn't something that Toto always is. But I don't see that we're going to have another signing come in and start now. I think if we do sign somebody else in that position, unless they're here by the weekend, I think it will be one of Toto or Wolfie.
Greg, anything different from that? I mean, you haven't got a huge amount of choice.
I'd probably go for NCR, to be honest. Just from last year's form, comparing him to Wolfenden, I don't think Wolfenden had a great season last year, did he? I appreciate, the circumstances, etc. But I'd like to see, if we aren't going to sign anyone else, then I've got no problems with NCR starting the season, if not at the end of August, doing the same. You need a bit of a battler in there, don't you?
Yep. Michael, how long into the season will it take for this new team to gel? We were debating this actually on the Blue Monday. I know people love it when we talk about the Blue Monday WhatsApp group, but we were talking about that earlier. And my hypothesis was that we would do similar to Lambert's two seasons in League One, but instead of being mid-table crap by the turn of the year, we'd go on a bit of a run. I do think we'll kind of blow teams out of the water just by having a kind of League One / Championship team. Then things might need a little bit of repackaging and sorting out, and then I think we'll go on that run. But you guys, thoughts about whether it'll be an instantaneous thing or whether it will take time, slow burn?
It's interesting because we've got quite a soft start to the season when you look at the fixture list. If you were to pick fixtures, they're probably some of the easier games in the league without sort of being disrespectful to the likes of sort of Morecambe, Cheltenham, those teams like that. So it's difficult. Is that going to be a good thing because they're weaker teams and it allows us to pick up points while we're still gelling? Or do you then drop points against teams at the start of the season, which you need to win long term? Hopefully it means we can still pick up points while we're gelling. And by the time we have some bigger tests sort of in sort of October, I think the season picks up a bit there, that we've sort of gelled and we can be sort of 7, 8, 9 points clear at the top of the league at that point.
Craig, I'll just add this variation to the question. Evening to Jordan. Hello, chaps. Which day in February do you think we'll have the league wrapped up by? But going back to Michael's point, any thoughts on whether... do you think the same? It's going to be a bit of a slow burn and then...
Yeah, I think it will. As we said, if you've got better players in League One, then you'll, by virtue of just having better players, you do get by an awful lot of games just by having that advantage. And hopefully, by the time we've got August at the end, we'll probably use Newport County as a sort of chance to, again, I can't imagine we'll make many changes for it. Well, Acre haven't got that many other players to play in it, but also could see it as an opportunity to get a bit of team shape and just use it as an extra pre-season friendly, albeit needing to win it sort of thing. So, yeah, I think it'll be a slow burner. And as I just hope people just stick with it and remember that, just think back to Blackpool last year, what they... like and what eventually did. Not saying that we'll be quite as bad as them at the beginning, but stick with it, everybody.
Yeah, imagine losing 4-1 to Ipswich last season. Also, Craig, who was Darren Ferguson looking at last night? You're exclusive to the world of Twitter last night. He was behind you, so was he, specking out your form for cricket?
Staring at the back of my head. We don't know actually. We were, you know, me and the guys I was with were chatting about it because he left before Jackson came on, because that's who we initially thought. We thought, well, from the Ipswich team, who is it going to be? It's going to be either Wolfenden or Jackson. They were pretty much the only guys that were there that weren't brought in or weren't kids. And then from the other side of things, I don't know if they're after a left back. The Cole U left back, I think, is quite highly rated. I think he won Man of the Match last night.
There's a Cole U fan on TW2D who seems to think that it was the Cole U left back, and that's why he was named Man of the Match, to try and sway Ferguson, because Judge should have been Man of the Match.
By then, mate. He'd gone on 70 minutes, he'd gone.
Clamping, isn't it?
It's clamping, is it? Okay. Well, there you go. I was struggling to think whether it was an Ipswich player, so there we go. Chris Rand's back. Double vaccinated entry from tourists and from the US, just in time for the Three Lions guys, the game changer guys. I was at Wickham when their Americanos went on the pitch. So if they've got any plans to do a Mark Ashton from last night, it just doesn't sit very well with me.
I think they will come over, won't they, for that first game?
They will.
They've always said they will. And
super keen to do that.
I saw something on Twitter about Blue Action wanted to do a tribute to Paul Mariner, and they've sort of been told not to do it on the first game of the season because it's not the right time for it, it said. So I'd imagine that's because probably the new owner's going to be there and they want to have something around that.
Possibly.
Firing their T-shirts into the crowd from their guns. And...
yeah. Danasian, how does one explain the animosity at times towards Chambers? Yet some people see future for Danasian. I thought... Danasian's a useful player, Simon, is my take. You know, the fact he can play across all of the back four positions is helpful. And I thought he demonstrated some decent leadership at times last night, Craig. You know, some good instructions when Holy started, his head started going. And I think he put an arm around Dobber at some time. I think there's a role for Danasian.
Yeah, when Chambers came along and had a little push and shove at Dobber after that Judge tackle, I think he came over. He did fine. He didn't get forward particularly well. I think that would probably, you know, hamper him from being anything near first choice. Because, yeah, to be fair, neither of the fullbacks got forward particularly last night, neither he nor Penny. As you say, you know, he plays across all the back four. I can't imagine he's particularly an expensive guy to have. But I think from what Joe was saying last year, he's not overly keen on staying and was a bit upset about not being allowed to go previously.
Yeah.
I just don't see that if Vincent Young is going to miss 10, 12, 14 games, that Danasian's going to be able to give Paul Cook enough in that right-back role. And I think if that were to happen, we'd probably end up with Wes Burns playing at right-back rather than Janoi Danasian. And if that's the case, what's the point of having a backup right-back who isn't going to play when your right-back's injured?
Well, I think the left-back business kind of sees Danasian be very much as a bench option at best, so we should see there. Sean's raised the point about our contacts at Everton, particularly through Francis Jeffers. Any thoughts on possible loans there? I think, was it Lewis Gibson was mentioned? But
yeah, apparently that deal's not dead yet, so we'll see. But yeah, I think we will end up with a couple of sort of maybe that winger, if the Salina deal can't be done, that person come in there as a loanee and maybe a right back as well to back up Vincent Young, a young Chelsea loanee, see if Paul Cook can find the next Reece James, who he had at Wigan.
Yep, good call.
They'll happen late in the window, though, won't they? You know, once everyone else has sorted all their business out,
they're jiggery.
They'll be the last week of the window. You just thought one of those times.
Yeah, well, the Euros has just slowed everything down. You see, like I say, there's a friendly last week, and Cameron Carter-Vickers is playing for Spurs and it's still, which shows how many players have still got to come back, because he's not going to be anywhere near it. He's going to be on loan somewhere without a shadow of a doubt. So there's a lot of players that still need to be freed up to go out on loan, just because they're currently sort of making up the numbers almost.
We're kind of in added on time now. We'd like to keep these. We're experimenting with the time slot a little bit. So we were at 4:30. Now we're at 8. So we're just experimenting that, but quite like to keep these short and sharp, I think. So we'll kind of go through the last few. Any last comments, any last shout outs, any last predictions for Millwall or any more signings? We'll stick those up. We'll do a burst of those before the end, just to rattle through some of these. Simon C, first time I've seen Joe without a beer on this. I've got a beer, if you're counting. How many have I had this week?
Should have filled one up from a homebrew.
Courtesy of Craig Finbo, that is a lovely little gift there. Thank you, Craig. I can't remember what I did for that. It was technical support for the Dizelle interview, which is still available on the Blue Monday channel. Always a pleasure. Evening to Nick. Hello, all. Are staff wages including the wage cap? Do we know? Quick, yes
no.
or no?
No.
Nope. No. There you go.
Good job, considering they outnumber the players at the moment.
HCH, any reason why Cook's not doing media after friendly games? I don't know.
I don't think he does it very often anyway, does he? I think the
he's got to protect his voice.
The Wigan fans were saying that he always used to chuck Richardson out after matches, after league matches, let alone friendly matches.
I'll quickly chuck this in from ads. I did see Richard Wright was referred to his plug. It wasn't particularly polite because it was a back street. What is it? Not back street, the Bash Street Bash kid, isn't it? There and there he is in Corinthian form. This is one from Nick. I've heard, I think we might have had this on the pod on Saturday.
Yeah.
Whose name are we getting on the back of our shirts?
I think I need to see the squad numbers before I can commit to anything because.
Everyone's excited about the squad numbers.
Someone like Bond, for example, Ipswich fan, be good to get on there. If he's given the number 9 shirt, that makes a case for him. If it's a number 17 or something like that, you don't want to see it.
Don't give a lone player number 9.
Yeah, I agree. Even to Jules, the world of Checkbook FC. Loving it, having the world of Twitter on strings at the moment. That's what we want. We've got what else? Captain last night was Genoid Inassi. Was that right, Greg? Yeah.
Yeah. He gave it over to Norwood when Norwood came on.
Yeah. On the when Nick said about the Kevin Beattie statue there, that might be that's been unveiled on the first game of the season. But I don't think it will be because I don't think anything's in place for that yet. And the first game of the season is next Saturday, and
you'd expect.
I don't think they've even cleared the area fencing and the phone box where it's going to go. So that must be being delayed a bit.
I thought that was October. It might be to coincide with the anniversary of his passing, perhaps, or something. I don't know. But I like this from HCH. F-15s from Lakenheath over the ground prior to kickoff. Yeah. We'll get someone to play the national anthem with
them. I don't know if they can like parachute at the back of an F-15, though, can they?
No, they might be picking up some serious G's doing that. I went to see the Chicago Bears and the Minnesota Vikings at Soldier Field a few years ago, and the displays they put on for that, the Americans, I don't think we're going to be having anything like that. Like you said, there was, I'm not good at my planes, but they were like the massive stealth bombers flying over the ground, and they felt like they were on top of your head. They were only about 40 yards above the top of the stand flying across there. It's insane. So hopefully stuff like that would be great.
Yeah.
If there aren't four middle-aged men jetpacking themselves over the Pioneer stand and into the centre circle, something would be going horribly wrong somewhere.
It'd be like the Burnley away game that time, which got delayed for a half because the parachute just landed on top of the stand.
Ridiculous that was.
Human fly on the Simpsons.
The thing is, now there's contactless payment in the bars. No one will be outside to see it, so they'll pay for all that expensive, you know, pre-match stuff, and we'll all be drinking Carlsberg because we can pay it with a Apple Pay. Here's Mark. Any excuse to big myself up? Welcome back to Suffolk, Rich. Yeah, I hope you're enjoying my wall of memorabilia. It will start to migrate further towards the door as well, so keep your eye. And I might move the stuff around on the show as well. So just, you know, entertainment for your eyes and the mind. That's what we're all about here on Blue Monday. Here, Jules, roll on first game. Hopefully, see you all there. Yeah, that is the plan. Coxie's comments. Do we know where the KB statue is going? It's in between Sir Bob and Sir Ralph, isn't it?
I think it's on the corner, effectively like opposite the Planet Blue.
Yeah.
Yep. And I will make this the final comment. Well, I want any final bye-byes before I. No offense to Michael. It's a very specific question about iFollow. And obviously, as a Brisbaneian, iFollow is important. Michael, we understand that. I think they made improvements to that during the season, but you like to think so. Better than Colchester last night, which was a pile of crap. And at least we got a partial refund, though. Paul Westake, great to catch up. Promise I've had a pod to listen to on my next run now. I need a new season and more shows next week. Well, so good shout, Paul. I can do some plugs now. We have a show coming out on Friday. So this will, if I can be bothered, I'll put it on the pod feed. Maybe tomorrow. But we have done a show, a special on data analytics, football insights with Ravi Mistry, who works for City Football Group, who own Man City amongst other football clubs, and he's telling us, giving us his insights as to how that industry works and the things that as supporters we are good and bad, and debunking a few myths. So I really recommend that, and we'll put that out Friday morning. So keep a lookout for that. And as usual, I'll stick our plugs across the bottom there. You can find us in the usual places. The usual shows return. We've got a little bit of a rejigged agenda, subject to team availability coming up in the new season. So we'll do a little, I like my little adverts for the start of the season. So we'll put one of those out on Monday. So last final shout outs. Cheers, lads. Have a good night. Will we start serving fizzy Benlin in honor of our new owners? Is that a partridgeism? I'm not sure about that. Great show, guys. Come on, you Blues. I think HCH is in there as well. Craig and Joe, any last comments, observations?
No, I've just...
Welcome back, Craig.
Thank you very much. Yeah, maybe see some people at Millwall on going on Saturday. I'd imagine we'll see, you know, much more like a first team start on Saturday than we did like yesterday. It was a bit of half and half, wasn't it, last night at Colu? So I reckon we'll see a clear indication of what's going on Saturday, hopefully.
Yeah, I think they'll be able to answer some questions on who's in the lead for that second centre-back spot between Toto and Wolfie. What do we reckon the rest of the team is if everyone's fit at the start of the season? I'll go Kladke in goal, Vincent Young right-back, Penny or Colson left-back if we sign him, Harper and Evans, Burns, Fraser, Chaplin, Piggott up top.
Yeah. All right, Fraser will be number 10 and Chaplin wide, do you reckon?
Wide left, I'd say.
Yeah, I think so. But then but then after that, if you haven't got the centre, you know, you've got cover at centre forward, everywhere else it's still looking a little bit thin, isn't it, in terms of cover, which is why you can still see we're after another four or five players, really.
Plenty more business for Mr. Ashton, so let's hold our applause just now.
He'll be diving into the North Stand like Herman at the end of the transfer window.
Love that. Hopefully so. Gentlemen, thank you once again for your contributions. Thank you, as always, for your questions, your comments, your observations. Really appreciate that. And we'll catch you next time.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.